Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
We're back. Yes, indeed. Thank the Most High that we're back again. Back again for another episode. Yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Yes, so very thankful to the Most High for this opportunity, this precious opportunity to be back with you here again. Yes, and I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. And I thank you all, yes I do, for listening. For the Most High has told me, yes directly has He told me, that I have for His cause some very important things for Him, yes, that I must do. The Most High calls a prophet to speak with others would not. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, men more often than not have been more concerned for personal pulpits and thrones than for the ultimate divine covenant cause, the one consent, healing, and reconciliation of a people devout unto the one Most High, for the making one, my brothers and sisters, of a world entire unto the ways of eternal peace. But now, my brothers and sisters, even now the time, my brothers and sisters, that time has come when the promise times of refreshing are upon us. The time to rediscover the ancient truths. The time foretold, my brothers and sisters, that all the precious truths that unscrupulous men for so long have schemed to keep hidden in the darkness, must again be brought to the light, to at last remember all that should never have been forgotten. My truth-loving brothers and sisters, is now. For again, the Most High has told me that I have for him some very important things for his cause that I must do. And he told me that because of what I must do, he said that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, that I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am indeed utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, has he told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, that I must tell you things. Precious truths. That men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. So let it be in this day when the Most High is appointed, yes, that all the truth that the world would obscure must again come to light, when all who would hide the truth from you must be exposed, when indeed, my brothers and sisters, all that has been hidden in the darkness must come to the light, must be revealed. Let it be, my brothers and sisters, that all who would serve the Most High cry aloud. Hallelujah!
Yes, well, my brothers and my sisters, we are indeed back. Yes, indeed, we're back again for another episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I am your host, Ed Nya of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Very thankful to the Most High for this opportunity to be back with you here again to speak these precious words the Most High has granted us for the healing of our people. For the Most High has told me, I said directly, as he told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things. That men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence. And indeed, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. But as always, my brothers and sisters, from the beginning, the Most High has always had a plan. He's always had a plan whereby it has always been his intent, his promise, that he should restore mankind in mind and heart, true to his plan and his purpose. And it shall be a blessed thing, my brothers and sisters, when all this world again shall understand as one what indeed is the righteousness, the true righteousness of the one Most High, Yah. My brothers and sisters, on last evening, we went through quite a few topics relating indeed what the covenant, what is the nature, what is the purpose of the covenant of the Most High. And it is, my brothers and sisters, ultimately an eternal one. Let me repeat that, and it is ultimately an eternal one. We went through quite a bit, seeking to bring clear to mind what has always been the intent of the Most High, that he have for himself a people, my brothers and sisters, a people of right understanding, consecrated, a righteous example, a light, if you will, an invariant light of truth, according to his wisdom, unto all the nations. And surely, my brothers and sisters, this is the offering the Most High promised that he would make of his people unto himself. Blessed are they who will understand this. For always, my brothers and sisters, was it the plan of the Most High that he established in himself peace. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, an enduring peace in this earth. We spoke on last evening about how the greatest command, Messiah said the greatest command, utmost command of all, even the foundation that we must stand upon as a people called and consecrated unto the Most High. He spoke of what is called the Shema. We find it at Deuteronomy 6:4-6. We find it at Mark 12:29-31. Hear, O Israel, the Most High, our Holy One, is one. Therefore, we must surely seek him with all our minds, hearts, souls, and might. That means nothing of our self-will being an obstacle. We must be willing to fully sacrifice ourselves as to be a living, active sacrifice, if you will. Example unto all that is divine righteousness, holy and acceptable unto Yah. Much to explain concerning this indeed, my brothers and sisters. Much to explain in terms of what this means. For the Most High told me long ago, he spoke in verifying what must be the restoration first of Israel as a light to all nations? He said to me concerning our people with him, even as was his petition and prayer at Yohanan John 17. He said to me, till we all are one. I said, till we all are one. We are not saved. Till we are one, we are yet in bondage to some misconceit of man. Till we are all of one accord, as Messiah petitioned, making no petition for those who would not listen to seek the way of peace, he said, let it be, my Father, that they may all be one, even as I and thou art one. Even that they may be one with us who would hear his words. What this means, my brothers and sisters, is that Messiah himself made no petition for those who would maintain short-sighted, selfish obstacles, misconceits, partial doctrines, pollutions, corruptions against discerning all that is the pure, perfect truth by which we must be one. Most High told me many years ago, some of the biggest lies have been told to hide the greatest truths. And it is in the truth of the one Most High, my brothers and sisters, that we must all be set free beyond every misguidance, beyond every misadministration, misrepresentation, beyond every misinterpretation, beyond every misconceit of man, after which men have defied the law, i.e. the peace of the one Most High, for the cause of the reconciliation and healing of what he has foreordained, must become in all things a holy, consecrated people. True unto him, my brothers and sisters, having allegiance unto him, and ultimately, my brothers and sisters, him alone. We find it in the book of Jacob. They call it James. Scriptures tell us that though we be scattered among the nations, though the tribes of Israel be scattered among the nations, we must yet allow our faith, that means faith seeking beyond all this world, beyond all the nations where we are scattered, that we must allow our faith made faithful, to be made faithful unto him who is one, that we be one, even unto what the scripture calls a matured, perfect work. Are people perfected, my brothers and sisters, after his mind? And indeed, since man was created to resonate only the thoughts of his maker, the scriptures tell us in the book of Jacob, that first chapter, if any man be double-minded, if any man be treacherous against this perfect allegiance that would bring peace, purity and completion, offering one choice, if any man stand against what truly honors the name, the oath, the vow, and to him who is one. He said, let not that man think he will receive in his petitions anything from the Most High. For such a man is unstable, wavering, unstable, not found so easily to be trusted to maintain the sincerity of a word. He said, let not such a man as this even think he'll receive anything from the Most High. I ask you, why would the Most High desire to raise a man's conscience that he only maintain some of the corruptions of his own heart, that he continue to remember and celebrate the misconceits of his own mind, the faulty foundations after which no one can be made whole? I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, I truly do. It's ultimately of utmost importance that we all do surely understand that the Most High will not be pleased, my brothers and sisters, with the affairs that are upon this earth until all realize to revere him according to who he is. In fact, his very name means he is as he is. The great I am that I am, that as he is, not as he is not. He will not be pleased, my brothers and sisters, till we all know him after one mind. 1 Corinthians 1:10, in the name of the Most High, unto his honor. We must all speak the same thing. Same thing. Same thing. Speak the same thing. Even if you will, having the same idea of a covenant. Speaking the same thing. With one understanding. No divisions amongst us. This is what has always been, my brothers and sisters, the plan. As it is written, he must become our peace. And whoever remains a stranger, separated from the knowledge of the promises of Yah, unto the commonwealth, common understanding, common holiness of kingdom to come, to be established at Yerushalayim, Jerusalem, Israel. Whoever is stranger to those ways of that coming holy kingdom that is beyond all the misconceits of man is still yet without hope, without Yah, without a Savior, and still in bondage to the misconceits of this world. Please understand, my brothers and sisters, the book of Ephesians and the 2nd chapter where it says, Messiah then must become our peace. And it's certain, my brothers and sisters, that where the scriptures speak first about restoring as one the tribes of Israel, that all nations, my brothers and sisters, must come to this knowledge. Transcended all the false prophets in this world and false apostles that have blinded mankind against the understanding that the grace of Yah is having the true knowledge of divine will, even the holy kingdom of Israel to come, restored to mind. And if we read Ephesians 3:1-6, we find what the grace of Yah is in the restoration of a holy and divine law, even the law the Most High gave to Israel. We read on into Ephesians 3:16-4 and 13, and it says, a true apostle and prophet will be concerned for the unity of the faith, that we all speak together, comprehending with all those who are consecrated to the height, depth, and breadth, even unto the full measure and stature of Messiah himself, and that we should not be like those of the nations who do not understand, alienated, are far from understanding in their minds, meaning that it is of utmost importance, I repeat, that it is of utmost importance that we must all come to one understanding, seeking the Most High for all that is the pure perfection of his word, his conscience, that we be true to him according to his law of peace. Transcended, my brothers and sisters, every manner of fallen conscience or self-righteousness that has enslaved the minds. The scriptures tell us that Messiah will not come judging after merely what is ordinary example, what eyes see and ears hear. Will not be observed according to ordinary observance or understanding, it says, Luke 17. But we will come to reprove this world of its injustices. Reprove this world wherever it has been that men have not in all things sought to be resonant after the mind of our Maker. Blessed are they who will understand this. On last evening, I also spoke about Genesis 2 and 7. And it said, man, Most High breathed into man the breath of life, an anointed being to commune with his Maker. But the Most High was not pleased, according to what you find in Genesis 6, 5 through 6, and that the thoughts of men have become evil continually. Messiah said at John 10th chapter, I and my Father are one. And he spoke to those who sought to admonish him, saying, is it not so written in your law that we should all be, hear me now, godly, true unto Yah? But Psalms 82 explains this, and that because men have fallen from course, though man was created to continually live after the ways of Yah, it says, henceforth you should die like men, like one of the princes, like one of your rulers. How about those who have blinded you? Because, quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, it was in men turning away from that which the Most High declared, that there'd be a paradise on earth, that the Most High swore that man in turning away from the way of life would surely die. It is written in the book of Ezekiel, the soul that sinneth shall surely die. But I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, that means the soul that falls away from what is divine conscience cannot persist in not learning how not to lie. This we must all do. We must all seek the Most High, that we discern his will beyond all worldly misconceits. Blessed are they who will understand Zephaniah 2:15 through 3 and 6 through 13 through the 20th verse. It speaks of Messiah reproving first a city. Yes, you heard me. It speaks of Messiah in the last days reproving first a city. There's an article on my website, hiddengospel.com, article called The Secret City Prophecies, that if you don't know about these things yet, you must yet know them. And it relates the idea that though Messiah would seek to raise human conscience beyond its fallen state, most, proud of themselves being fatally flattered by their rulers, would not listen. But the plan of the Most High, my brothers and sisters, is he will get man's attention. For the scriptures talk about because man would not listen, there would be a destruction of that city. That city that's a miniature example of all the confused miscreant ideologies of this world. That a whole world take note and a whole world learn to seek beyond its shame. I said that a world seek beyond its shame, beyond every fallen standard, to learn again how not to lie, to learn the truth that abolishes every lie, to learn the truth, my brothers and sisters, that abolishes every manner of false rule, to only the righteous, the unshakable righteousness of Yah remains. Blessed are they amongst us, my brothers and sisters, who will understand this. For it is written. And tonight's show might not be as long as some previous, but I thought it was important that I relate a few things to try to make a few things clear that mayhaps might not have been as clear as I would like in the last few shows. Understand something, my brothers and sisters, in the book of Isaiah, in the 28th chapter, the scripture speaks of Messiah coming as what is called a mighty and a strong one, one who is strong to discern against the misconceits of this world, one who is strong even unto doing what is necessary, that the tribes of Israel who will listen, even that all who would listen, discern again the true will of Yah, that we all be one. But it talks about how even those who are seen to be reprovers in Isaiah 28, it's talking about how even all of them have gone astray. Because Messiah comes as a restorer of the covenant. The Hebrew word that they just translated Kadash is actually could be translated, my brothers and sisters, many times as a word relating something renewed, made like new, restored. Not a new covenant that abolishes the former word, because quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, it is not the word of Yah that is ever abolished, it could ever be abolished at any time. I want you to hear me. Transgression against an eternal law will always be sin, but the misadministrations of man, I repeat, the misadministrations of man is what must be cast aside. That the veils of misconceit that have covered all the nations should be no more. I want you to understand this well, my brothers and sisters. In Isaiah 28, it says, to whom shall he teach knowledge? And to whom shall he make to understand his report? It's like a State of the Union address, if you will. And my brothers and sisters, it speaks of Messiah coming to a people who have fallen short of discerning what is the foundation purpose even for their existence. And the scripture says he will restore that foundation, restore the knowledge of that expectation. And it says it shall be a terror for many to understand his report, his exceeding truth, that for many it will be a vexation and a terror for them to understand his report, and that the cloth, the doctrine they use to cover their sin, are too short and a warp. There's holes in the doctrine, my brothers and sisters, has grown weak, and men's shame being seen, my brothers and sisters, it should be discovered in that day that the doctrines they thought were sufficient to overcome their sins were not enough. To overcome their misconceits was not enough. That the words they had, thinking that it was sufficient to transcend and overcome the world and the multitude of its lies that have divided people across denominations, nations, and camps. All my brothers and sisters, men shall find the word. And that day they have trusted for a very long time has not been enough. Isaiah 26 talks about how those who will be redeemed, who will hear the exceeding word, will one day say, Isaiah 26, speaking of those who yearn for the truth through the night, it says that they will humbly declare other lords. I'm talking about Isaiah 26, 12 to 13. Other lords have had dominion over us, but now by thee only we will make an oath or even mention your name. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Those scriptures go on a bit further, relating that the whole world one day will have to admit that in some ways all the peoples have fallen short of discerning what is conscience, honorable before Yah. Whole world will have to admit, according to what Most High said, he observed in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, that Most High looked upon the sons of men, and he saw none that understood how much more men needed to seek Yah, because they're all blinded under evildoers who devour my people like bread. But he said this would be, there would arise a generation that would seek righteousness, a generation that would seek his face, a generation, my brothers and sisters, that will one day understand when the Most High raises up unto salvation who he chose out of Zion, that Israel shall again be glad, or if you will, my brothers and sisters, be made whole. But how many of us, my brothers and sisters, have understood those scriptures in that wise? In fact, most have just simply sought to believe that a people falling short of what is honorable for the Most High could dishonor and even disrespect them and still be called saved. No, my brothers and sisters, that is not the case. And those words need to be much more respectfully understood. For man must learn again how to revere the Most High in the day that shall be restored, a reference point for reverence. Please understand me, my brothers and sisters, that day is upon us. So many ways the scripture spoke about these days and all the turmoil and distractions that would exist in the world. And they say, when you see all these things, the time of salvation, even being healed, to see beyond all these things is even at the door. Because, hear me, my brothers and sisters, there are those amongst us seeing all this turmoil in the world that will not become as depreciated in their conscience or depraved in their conscience, to, let's just say, as the more depraved things go. They will not become, seek to become depraved with it, but seek to know the Most High, seek the Most High, that they come out or see beyond this mass of misconceits, knowing that something is wrong. There are some amongst us, my brothers and sisters, that a word, an example, is enough for them to seek an exceeding wisdom. My brothers and sisters, the world we live in today has been far from hearing the kind of message that I would reveal in this time. In fact, the scriptures relate that, quite frankly, if you read through them closely, it's been many, many generations. The Messiah, the scripture says, it will come that many generations have passed before men, after a time of great fall, would hear again the word of Yah as it is. Amos 8:11-12 said the time would come when men run to and fro the earth looking to find the word of Yah, a word true after the mind of Yah as he is, and would not find it. So the scriptures speak about a need to restore the idea of that mutual understanding, a time in which would be restored to mind that mutual sense of conscience and governance that we all must have, that we be one. I want you to hear me, my brothers and sisters. I want you to hear me. Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, 30th to the 31st chapters. Something must be explained far beyond what has been common to man. It must be explained and understood also in the light of the book of Hebrews, and the seventh, particularly to the seventh, the 10th, 11th chapters. For much misconceit has been the result of man believing that there is a quote-unquote new covenant, and that man have dwelt under that new idea of what they called a new covenant for a very long time. Even though this world has confessed the name of the Most High, even called upon the name of the Savior, what they thought was that name, having continually defied that holy principle. Like I said, 47,000 denominations across 280 nations had never been faith in, nor knowledge of, nor the love of Yah as he is, but has been man's desire to propagate and perpetuate his own carnal, short-sighted, shallow-minded, oftentimes gullible misconceits and false estimations. Yah is one and is not to be counted divided after the varying misconceits of man. Hosea in the 7th chapter speaks of it well. Though he has sought to save them, yet have they spoken lies against him. Now, brothers and sisters, I can only tell you that every partial standard after which men have called themselves complete has, in many respects, my brothers and sisters, been a lie against the conscience of the Most High, fully understood and revealed. There is a reason why Colossians says and repeats again and again, let no man beguile you, let no man deceive you. Let no man cause disturbances among you. Let no man set a standard after which you might call yourself to be or say that you should be judged, when the main objective and the judge, the one judge who will judge mankind from among men, is Messiah himself. Let no man turn you aside from what is right understanding of what is proper meeting drink, the beginning of the month, the feasts and the Shabbats. What it means, my brothers and sisters, that in our common partaking and the Sabbaths, the feasts, the new moons, let no man deceive you after another word. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? Let no man deceive you after another word. The Most High wants his people to practice after the ways of health, wisdom, and holiness. Why then, my brothers and sisters, would some say that it makes no difference what they eat, drink, what they conceive, what they partake of, what they understand, what they seek to spiritually digest? It truly does make a difference. For the days the Most High has set aside will always to be a remembrance, a memorial. Look at Leviticus 23, a memorial of his ways, that we all, my brothers and sisters, have the same petition, seeking after the same praise, even having together the same prayer. We find this in Isaiah 56, talking about a time when the true righteousness of Yah, the righteousness that would govern all nations, is again revealed, even speaking not only to Israel, but even to all the nations. For in Isaiah 55, it talks about how the Most High called forth Israel to be a light, an invariant light to all the nations, and no people divided can be that perfect example. In the book of Genesis 17, 1 through 9, we find Abraham being told that if he walked according to the perfect will of Yah, and his children then did the same, that they would be a consecrating light of peace even to all the nations, telling us much as to what his purpose. Isaiah 55, Israel was supposed to be a light to the nations. Well, Messiah is given to be that pot of light, if you will, that would bring forth the people true to the wisdom of one. Isaiah 56, 56, then all the way up to around about the eighth verse. It talks about the Most High wants his house to be a house of prayer for all people, Jew and Gentile alike. All my brothers and sisters, important. It is very important that we understand this. Everything in its order, the scripture says, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. What does this mean? Even in the book of Revelation, in the 6th to 7th chapter, we see the 12 tribes of Israel, the elect of the 12 tribes of Israel who come to an understanding, anointed into the higher dimension, sealed and confirmed as belonging in the wisdom of Yah. Again, my brothers and sisters, to be a light, a proper example unto all the nations. How is it, my brothers and sisters, that some have seen this the other way around and have not understood that the people whom the Most High has consecrated first will be the first to awaken to the fullness of the reward? Book of Romans speaks of it. Shaul said, my greatest desire for Israel is they might be saved. How about all made one? It goes on and finally says that faith comes by hearing a word. Faith. How about seeing beyond the world's confusion? True faith, true belief, faithfulness unto Yah comes not after the varying ideals, but a word heard directly from Yah. At a time when it should come to pass in the last day that all those who call upon the name of the Most High shall be one, in a day that Messiah is revealed to restore a kingdom holy unto Yah at Yerushalayim, Jerusalem. Read Joel 2:31-32, Isaiah 24:22-23. After it talks about the destruction of a city that is a mere example of all the world's so-called sophisticated confusions, so that the word of light and truth be revealed, and no more shall men walk after the treacherous ones who have dealt treacherously, hiding the truth from our minds. It is written, my brothers and sisters, why did not your leaders tell you this? For it is important that we understand. Colossians 2 is in effect saying, let no man preserve or create divisions or disturbances amongst you, wherein all manner of less than mutually righteous doctrine should take hold to enslave and blind the minds. Let this not be. He said, Messiah came and proved foolish the varying principalities and powers, the standards and status quos of men that were falling short of what is truly honorable before him. Let us understand these scriptures in a manner right unto divine honor, unto true divine praise. For Messiah said in effect at Yohanan 17:9 that he made no petitions, no prayer for the forgiveness of anyone who would stand against our people becoming one in conscience, one in consciousness, one in conscience, unto peace. He told me, as I said to you before, my brothers and sisters, some of the biggest lies have been told to hide the greatest truths. For if it's truth that sets us free unto peace, what do you think it is that lies have done? What do you think it is that misconceits have done? Men becoming zealous after partial standards and misideals after which they've given their allegiance to other than divine intent has caused a gross disparity, many damnations, divisions against divine vision that have gone forth infectiously like a disease, destroying the peace in this world. The Most High would have a world, my brothers and sisters, unto his honor. Yes, my brothers and sisters, are people that would know that the only gift honorable that our people could ever offer is a people consecrated in divine law, having a faith, faithful unto him who is one. I want you to think about something, my brothers and sisters. There are those who would prefer not to believe that the world has fallen away from that perfect ideal. But the truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, what does it say in Yohanan 3:14-21? The light, how about an invariant word from above, has come into this world to teach us again how to love. He told me, the Most High told me, that the greatest gift he could give is a law by which men might learn again how to love, trust, and cooperate. For Yah so loved the world that he wanted it one unto his name, blessed His will. But it says, my brothers and sisters, though the Most High did this, men have loved darkness, confusion. How about premature, imperfect, confused ideals more than that perfect light? There's a reason, if you will understand it, my brothers and sisters, why even before the first century, the early church was forced underground. Read up on what is called the Roman catacombs of the church, those who sought to be consecrated beyond the world and the misideals of the Roman Empire and its persecutions, while the early church wound up meeting or seeking to meet and establishing themselves underground, my brothers and sisters, that they be not persecuted by those who refuse to understand. And trust me, my brothers and sisters, there is no record whatsoever of the apostles ever conferring authority over to those of Rome who both destroyed Jerusalem and so sought to destroy the peace that the Most High sought to grant to his people. It's time we know this, my brothers and sisters. It truly is. It's time we understand what Shaul meant when he said, my greatest desire for Israel is they might be saved, made one. Made one in the knowledge of Messiah, even the knowledge that the nations to this date have not fully considered. I'm talking about Isaiah 52:15 through 53:1. That Israel might first become true to that pure and perfect word, that according to Romans, moving further, at Romans 11:25-27, talking about though Israel might be scattered, the time would come, my brothers and sisters, that Messiah would come out of Sion, Zion, from amongst the tribes of Israel, even the tribe of Judah, that all Israel, in a day when he comes to turn aside all ungodliness for the sake of those who turn from all transgression, that Messiah would come, my brothers and sisters, turn aside all, as I said before, to turn aside all transgression, turn aside all ungodliness, that we prepare, my brothers and sisters, for what the cross scriptures call the renewing of our minds, to become a living sacrifice. How about a living example? How about, my brothers and sisters, in the context of Romans, what does it say? It says there's a spirit of sin and death, defiant against the absolution of divine will, and a spirit of life, or let's just say congruous thought, unto peace. It goes on, my brothers and sisters, and says that carnal mind, those who resist the one way of truth, who seek to establish their rule or their own false rule, the scriptures talk about how the carnal minded are at enmity, hate a divine absolute. But the scripture says that if you will subdue the carnal mind or the flesh by the spirit, you will live. Think about it. That is that living sacrifice. That submission of self unto will, the will of one, is the only, that only the will of the one remains. And that is the abolition, my brothers and sisters, the putting away of all false rule, the false rule of man, that the righteousness of Yah should remain. It's important that we know this. Tonight's show, I wanted to talk about some words, some scripture that is related in the book of Yirmiyahu. Like I said, the show may not be as long as some previous shows, but I want to make some things pretty plain. In the book of Yirmiyahu, it is a scripture there speaking of a time that is called the times of Jacob's trouble, time of Israel scattered amongst the nations. For the truth of the matter is that since the times of Rehoboam, King Solomon's son, Rehoboam, when the tribes of Israel were split, the tribes of Israel going to the north and what became what was called the Northern Kingdom, and Yehuda, Judah, with much of Levi, still in the midst of the territory that came to be called Yehudia, the land of the tribe of Israel, if you will, or tribe of Judah, if you will. Now, it has to be understood something very important. When the Most High brought his people out of the land of Egypt, brought them beyond all the misconceits of the nations, he made a covenant with his people that they become of one mind. One scripture says, I'll tell you about it in Numbers 22 through 24, no strange gods, no misconceits, no altered understanding amongst them. And while that people were true, with one true to one understanding, cooperatively together, functioning under Moshe, the messenger the Most High gave for the cause of redeeming his people and preparing them to live holy unto the Holy Land. While that people walked true unto the Most High, though there were other nations, particularly in this case, he talks about Balak of Moab, seeking to curse this people, to prevent them becoming what they needed to be, or deter them from becoming what they needed to be, to pass through the land unto the land of promise. Hey, how about seeking to destroy the unity of conscience, keeping them unprepared for the kingdom that is to come? It says that was promised to them, the land that was promised to them. Let us understand the same thing in Hebrews 3 and 4, but it speaks about our keeping and hearing the voice of the Most High and the day that he has declared, that we all speak together as one, that we prepare for that coming holy kingdom. Oh, my brothers and sisters, there's so much to be understood about Hebrews 3 and 4 chapter. In the context of understanding that the time that is promised is that one, that millennial reign that is mentioned of in Isaiah 11, that the weekly Shabbats are preparation for that day, that we should not provoke the Most High in choosing not to hear. What did the scripture say in the book of Yohanan? That Messiah made no petition for those who did not want to see, to walk true to the way of peace. The way of peace that should be taught in each and every Shabbat, each and every feast day, each new moon. That we all be of one accord. Oh, there's so much to talk about there. Book of Yahashua, Joshua 22, 1 through 6, talking about how Yahashua brought the people into the land, but that peace was only temporary. And there's a greater peace that was spoken of in the book of Hebrews that people should anticipate. And it said it's the duty of the people of Yah to keep the Shabbat. And what it really means is the duty of the people to keep that time and day the Most High has consecrated, that all his people become covenanted, agreed in one understanding, that all revere the Most High, true to his name and his honor, as one. There shouldn't be all these varying, differing doctrines that men teach, have taught, dividing our people. And frankly, my brothers and sisters, while those divisions remain, it has been a breaking of the covenant. For the first and utmost covenant unto Israel is that all should seek the Most High, as was done in the Day of Atonement, to reason together as one, to reconcile, to see their differences reconciled according to the exceeding will of Yah. If any people be inclined anywhere against that fullness, that covenant of peace has been broken. So in Yirmiyahu, those scriptures speak, my brothers and sisters, of a time when Israel, in the midst of great tribulation, persecution, after many years of persecution, because this persecution has continued from that time till now, when Israel will seek, if you will, to return to, as a people, as the bride of Messiah will seek to return to a loving, if you will, husband, returning in a covenant, true unto Yah, as the scriptures have said, what Most High has joined together, that no man seek to put asunder. A covenant is like a marriage, my brothers and sisters, and the tribes of Israel are to function together as one. And the Most High, even Messiah himself, being the bridegroom of the bride. Let us understand what these scriptures are talking about. 31:22 says, a new thing. How about a new covenant? An agreement shall be restored. Where he said that a new thing shall you bring to bear in the earth. A woman shall love her husband. Let us think about this scripture in the context of also what's in the book of Hosea in the second chapter, which speaks about how Israel began to vacillate adulterously after the ideals of other nations. Hey, men oftentimes seek to call themselves wise after their own minds and hearts. But the scriptures talk about the day when Israel will say, I will return to my first husband. Oh, yes. That his people no longer call him a harsh master, a Baali, but shall call him a loving husband, Ishi. It's the same concept, my brothers and sisters. And it says in that day in Hosea 11, Israel shall have one king, even that son of David. The Most High said he would give to his people that they be unified again as one, as what's written in Ezekiel 37. That same son of David by which all the tribes of Israel shall become again one stick. A people true to the covenant purpose for which the Most High first multiplied the sons of Jacob. That as 12 tribes, they return or come back, if you will. Their children return to that land forsworn to the fathers. So what are these scriptures really all about? I like to make it quick and plain. The book of Jeremiah, Yahuwah 31:31, it says, behold, the days are coming. How about after those times that would put an end to all that great tribulation, persecution amongst nations unfamiliar with the law and the hope of Yah unto Israel? When a people scattered amongst people came having no concern that Israel become a strong people again, able to testify what is truly the will of Yah unto all the nations as a light, an invariant light of truth amongst all nations. Trust me, the nations, my brothers and sisters, have cared nothing about Israel waking fully into its ancient conscience. The nations, my brothers and sisters, have cared nothing about Israel awakening to that conscience which must reprove all nations. And my brothers and sisters, just as the kings of the earth have not been concerned that Israel awaken beyond their misconceits, their bondage, so it has also been that even amongst the various camps and tribes of Israel, the various, as I said, camps, tribes, under the various mores and teachers in Israel, there have been many who have been so concerned about their congregations. They cared nothing about our people becoming one beyond themselves, to be forgiven, to be atoned as one, beyond all the varying doctrines that have all been in so many ways partial, not considering all the Most High has intended. And in so many ways, my brothers and sisters, for not seeking all that is the foundation of the expectation, has been, you know, a word, errant, keeping our people divided, contentious against one another. And of what good is it, my brothers and sisters, that we are contentious against one another and none is truly right? Oh, my brothers and sisters, time we understand. Behold, the days are coming, says Yah, when I will renew, or make renewed the covenant I made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In other words, the tribes of Israel and Judah again being one people. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? That means bringing his people back from all the misconceits of all the nations, meaning that it is the variant ideals, the carnal estimations, the private interpretations of men that must be wiped from the minds. That only the ancient righteousness, the word that was from the beginning, be restored to remain. I renew the covenant, the holy covenant, nothing after the thoughts of men in it. He said he'd restore that covenant that he made with or between the house of Israel and the house of Judah. And what that means, my brothers and sisters, is where Israel was to be governed. Even in the book of Genesis 49, we find that the tribe of Judah, out of the tribe of Judah, would ultimately come him before whom all the other tribes would bow. Isaiah 45 and 23 talks about that one called the Kerti. It says, before him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. Philippians 2 says, unto the righteousness, unto the honor of Yah his Father. The same thing written also in the book of Romans, saying there's one judge. And before him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear allegiance. In fact, it goes on to say that both Jew and Gentile might both be like-minded. And I mean, my brothers and sisters, not like-minded after some misconceit of the nations, but after the will the Most High gave to Israel to be an eternal covenant. For in that it is promised that Israel must be restored after the pure, perfect word that is from above, and all nations must become one in that covenant. It is not that the Most High ever made a covenant that some people call new to preserve all the polytheist paganisms, misconceits, carnal estimations, private interpretations that are the unsure word of the nations. It is the word the Most High gives that is his law that he said he would write upon every mind and heart. For those, my brothers and sisters, who would prove themselves sincere to preserve the integrity of a word, willing to know again the way true unto peace. But they said somehow amongst the nations that there's a new covenant where they want to say that they are New Testament Christians. My brothers and sisters, there is no covenant after the idea of a Christos, the polytheist pagan Christos. So that word Christian comes from, to the ancient polytheist mind of those in Rome. A Christos was someone after all the unclean spirits of all the varying misideals of all the nations. There's no holy covenant after this, my brothers and sisters. And even the book of Revelation calls Messiah the King of the East. And it says he would come against all the false spirits that have gone to all the kings of the earth. That all their misconceits be destroyed, that the great city they call Babylon, or this social coalescence of confusion should be no more. Yes, indeed, my brothers and sisters, if confusion be no more, that the people at last again be free. I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, Isaiah 11, 1 through 4 speaks about Messiah coming to judge, not after the misexamples this world has wrought. That he would slay every fallen standard, destroy every fallen standard with an exceeding word by the spirit of the testimony of his mouth, that there be peace again in this world. And it says in that day, Israel shall no longer envy Judah, and Judah shall not oppress Ephraim. Oh, my brothers and sisters, those scriptures are talking about the tribes of Israel and Judah again, for it was in the days of Rehoboam that the tribes of Israel saw themselves as oppressed by Rehoboam, King Solomon's son. And it caused a split of the tribes. But the scripture talks about those tribes again being healed as one, brought back up from the midst of all the nations. And that bringing them back of the people from the midst of all nations is symbolized by what the scripture calls the drying up of the rivers, that men no longer remain blinded under the mindscapes of men. It's time we understand that, my brothers and sisters, because of what the scriptures are actually saying, that the covenant he will create Men will not break after the misconceits of their own minds. They will no longer be ungrateful for an exceeding word. For the scripture talks about this, is about this. We know we are the sons and daughters of Yah, that we keep, preserve, maintain the integrity of his commandments. How about a command and his instruction concerning his word as instructed by him? And we will not find this burdensome. But ultimately, my brothers and sisters, our utmost delight, not like the covenant he made with their fathers in the day that he took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, out from the midst of all the misconceits of the nations. And yet my covenant, they continued, they went on and broke. They split after their own ideals, their own agendas. So I was a husband unto them, says Yah. Does this again explain what I just spoke to you earlier? He said, I'll create a new thing, a new covenant. How about his people together, having him as their peace, him as their love, him as their devotion, him as their allegiance, his righteousness, his conscience, as the glue that binds them again together? He said, for this shall be the covenant that I will make again. And that word there, when it says make, is also that can be translated as to make again, or to make again an alliance, a covenant for the houses, if you will, of the tribes of Israel after the days in which they have learned that they should seek to return beyond all the persecution that they have felt among nations who have despised divine law. He said, this is the covenant. He says, I, even by his spirit, even at the word of Messiah himself and instructed by him, I will put my law, my conscience, my peace, what he loves, what is his order, his truth. He'll show it up, show it, and reveal it in the midst of them, write it upon their hearts, or even amongst them, to write it on their minds and hearts. And he would be their Holy One. He will be their peace. They will be a habitation for his law, for his spirit that reveals that very law. For it said concerning the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that the Holy Spirit teaches all things, brings all things to remembrance, all things to consideration, that we reason together as one. The book of Isaiah tells us that we do not seek to reason again and again and again as one, that what we gather in is gatherings unto ourselves. And if we do not seek to reason together as one, we would not partake of the good of the land. The good of the land. And he said, the sword will devour us. But he said, what? If we do seek to reason together, seek him beyond our personal passions and agendas, knowing that vengeance belongs to Yah, and he will repay, and that it being our first duty to one another, to seek beyond ourselves, to show ourselves reasonable, not brute beasts, but reasonable, having divine intent for peace as first priority. If we show that we will do this, willing to reason together, not that first thought should be vengeance, but reconciliation. What does it say over in 2 Corinthians 10:3-6? Our weapons are not carnal. In other words, not everyone argumentative after their own personal ideals. Our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through Yah, mighty after his spirit, unto seeking peace. And it even goes to say, even to cast down whatever stronghold would stand against reconciliation, if you will, in the knowledge of Yah. And we are ready to recompense our revenge, even seek vengeance against all disobedience, when first our obedience is complete. What did Messiah said? Whoever is among you without sin, let him cast the first stone. The book of Matthias, he also spoke, saying, if we wish to heal one another, let us first get the beam out of our own eye, that we may be able to see clearly how to help our brother. And if we judge after any partial standard, it is we who are to be condemned. He said, watch out for false prophets who would not teach you all that is necessary to judge rightly. Because after such false prophets, men have followed after misrepresentations that they have not known him as he is. They say, would say to them, keep away from me because you never knew me. I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, Isaiah 50, why it reads the way it does. It says, why when I came, speaking of Messiah in the last days, why when I came was there no man? And I spoke, was there none to answer? And he's talking about a time when he appears in the latter days. And like I said in the book of Luke, when people, when they realize what they have done and they have rejected him, they say, but you stood in our streets and you preached in our paths. Oh, my brothers and sisters, blessed are the souls who on the day Messiah appeared, or on the day, my brothers and sisters, that body chosen, named, and anointed speaks the fullness of a word. That body, named, and anointed with that 40-plus odd titles that are forementioned in Scripture is revealed. That his name is revealed for the sake of those who would believe in his name. That he is that chosen one. All my brothers and sisters, blessed are those who will comprehend his word. That will not be blinded by the counterfeit that is spoken of in the book of Revelation. After the ways of the nations, having horns like unto the Lamb, seeming to have the authority of the Savior, but speaking as the dragon that deceives this whole world. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who will discern that one. For it is because men have been taught a counterfeit and not taught sufficiently the word of Yah that the scripture said at first this world would not discern him. I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, when we go on. He said, this is the covenant in Jeremiah 31:33. This is the covenant I will make again to ally the houses of Israel and Judah after those days. Meaning the first thing that must be done again is there must be a reconciliation of all the tribes of Israel. Even to be governed by one the Most High chose out of the tribe of Judah. He said he would write, teach his law upon the minds and hearts. And why did he say that? That they be his people. He said, and they won't misguide anyone anymore. He said, the people, even they of the nations, even those of Israel who are not one, should no longer teach everyone, every man his neighbor, and every man his brother and his neighbor, saying, know them, know Yah. All my brothers and sisters, what does it say in Malachi? Most High not pleased that men have dealt treacherously, everyone against his brother, as if we don't have one father. I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. We must transcend the misconceits of those who would deceive us not to perceive all we need to perceive and receive. He said they shall all know him, from the youngest to the eldest of them. That means that they will become steadfast in the knowledge of Yah, they be not so easily gullibly deceived. And in that day, my brothers and sisters, when they again are at one, he will forgive them. Therefore, make them at one beyond all their iniquity, beyond all their injustices. And the people, even Yah, will no longer remember and hold against one another their previous misconceits, errant judgment, and divisions. For they also know Yah as he is, that they no more seek to maintain these multitude of camps and denominations and nations. Every man of fallen, impure, and imperfect doctrine. They won't seek to preserve them anymore. And then shall the Most High call them fully consecrated as his people. For a long time, my brothers and sisters, men have talked about a new covenant as if to say, the Most High suddenly covenanted himself after all the misconceits of the nations, but never was it so. I repeat, for a long time, men have spoken about a new covenant as if the Most High abolished his covenant that he made with Israel. And even though the scripture says in Malachi and in the book of Revelation 15, it says he restored the covenant that he made with the house of Israel and the house of Judah in the context of saying that he will restore the heart of the ancient Hebrew fathers to their children, and the heart of the children should return to the heart of their fathers, even according to the law that he gave his servant Moshe. What? I want you to understand, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures in the book of Revelation talks about overcoming the world, and it says the people who do will sing the song of the Lamb and the song of Moshe as if they are one word attuned and one mind beyond all the worldly misconceits and divisivenesses of all the nations. You read that scripture closely, my brothers and sisters, in Yohanan, John 1 and 1 through 18. It talks about Messiah coming as that light of life, that word pure and perfect, after which is no aberration, no contention. And if we understood it well, it says he would bring forth a people not born or reared after the devices and misconceits of the flesh. Did you hear me? A people no longer divided after the misconceits of any fleshly or carnal estimation or carnal misrule, but spiritually empowered, my brothers and sisters, born not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of men or men's institutions or even their kindredships. Because my brothers and sisters, even amidst all the tribes of Israel today, our people have not been true to the spirit of him who is one. The true children of Israel, my brothers and sisters, the true children of Abraham would seek all that is the perfect will of Yah, and many are they who have become satisfied with something that is so far less. But we will be his people according to the scriptures, my brothers and sisters. His people. And we all seek all that is his perfect will. For whoever will not seek the perfect will of Yah does not and does not desire that the tribes of Israel become one, that the Most High have a light unto his honor, a people as a holy habitation of his spirit. Whoever does not desire that peace, there's no forgiveness for them. Whoever will not desire this ultimate ideal beyond all their varying institutions and camps, denominations and nations. My brothers and sisters, whoever does not have that desire to be one with Yah in a pure, perfect truth is not Israel. I repeat, is not Israel, for true Israel is far beyond just simply being of the tribes. My brothers and sisters, there are so many that are the tribes of Israel that turned away from the will of Yah, that will not gain the inheritance of the holy name. And Israel is called the people, even the princes, who strive together with Yah. Many of they who say they are Israel, you talk about the Shema, that demands that we all seek all that is the perfect will of Yah for our mutual good, unto divine honor. Well, my brothers and sisters, they forgot that the word for heaven, Shamayim, is the people of the Shema who keep that covenant, who will seek all that is the exceeding word of Yah, having faith that Yah is wiser, having faith that he is a healer, one who can make us complete, that we no longer misjudge after any faulty, fallen, immature standard. What does it say, my brothers and sisters, in Psalms 19? It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. How about my thoughts, my brothers and sisters? Become acceptable in thy sight, O Yah, my helper and my savior. It says, with what shall a young man stand beyond his stumbling? Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Yah, my helper and my savior. The savior, my brothers and sisters, comes to eradicate the misconceits of man. How many told you, my brothers and sisters, about Isaiah 50, 10 through 11, that speaks about a people who have departed across this world, both Jew and Gentile alike, departed from departed from that pure, perfect light and word of truth. It says every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, nor shadow of changing. That means the gift of Yah is a pure word by which we might have a reference point to be made one. Blessed are those amongst us who will understand this and not forget. For I would have you to know, my brothers and sisters, the Most High will have for himself a people that will discern again his will. And what is written over in Isaiah 59? It says it plainly, that his words shall not depart from our mouths. Our mouths are descendants, henceforth, even forever and a day. Then he shall raise up a standard. And that scripture is corollary at Romans 11, 25 through 27 through 12 and 4, talking about the renewing of our minds. It says, in that day, Messiah will come out of Zion. To turn aside all ungodliness in Yaakov, for those who will listen, to turn aside from all transgression. And in that day, we will all have the same covenant with him. This is the renewing of the mind. This is the renewing of the minds together as one, my brothers and sisters. This is the restoration of a holy covenant, having none of the misconceits of man in it. This, my brothers and sisters, is what unto Yah is truly to be counted honorable. Blessed are those among us who will know this. Blessed are those who will have this expectation and will not forget. I said this show will be a little bit shorter than many of those that I've broadcast in the past. But I wanted to take out this time to try to make something very plain. That we no longer be distraught after what has become so much hypocritical worldly compromise. That we no longer be divided, my brothers and sisters, after any lesser standard. Because at any time you take anything away from that pure, perfect word, it is not divine vision anymore, but it is mass division. There's a reason why the scripture says Messiah would come as the root and offspring of David. One called the bright morning star would come like the morning sun that casts out all the darkness, reveals the light the world would obscure, and expose all those who would hide, and to expose all those who would hide the truth from you. Well, my brothers and sisters, the midst of those scriptures in Revelation 22, what it actually says is that ultimately, if any man would add to those words, would seek to add to the covenant, and trust me, my brothers and sisters, the Most High told me to know what is said and not know why it is said is to lie, to miss the point, to pervert, and to take away from the honor the Most High deserves. He said, if you add anything to these words, you add damnation to your soul, which means you separate yourself from being kind of trustworthy, sincere, under the preservation of the sincerity of a holy word. You separate yourself from being kind of trustworthy to dwell amongst the people who must be redeemed, who must become again strong in a word of absolute truth. It said if you add anything, you add damnation to your soul. The holy covenant, my brothers and sisters, is not after the conceits and devices of men, but after the mind of Yah eternal. He said, if you take anything away, you take away your opportunity unto eternal life, even that your mind, your very name might be blotted out from the book of life ordained from the foundation of the world. It's imperative then, my brothers and sisters, we understand the renewal of the covenant, renewal of the holy covenant, holy meaning pure and perfect after divine mind. It's not after the conceits of men, not after the workings of men's ordinary carnal mind. A people cannot be restored after the perfection of that mind, but after the word, the works, the thoughts, the spirit of him who gives it to whom he will. Blessed are they, my brothers and sisters, who in hearing these things will be found worthy, for they shall be called the sons and daughters of Yah. No longer, my brothers and sisters, blinded, be called the children of misconceit, but be called the children of truth. The children of Abraham, who was called by his name after having been called Abram. We call Abraham a father, a teacher. How about my brothers and sisters, a loving father, if you will, seeking beyond all the nations would seek to establish in the earth again, a reference point beyond all worldly misconceit that all people revere and discern and know Yah as He is, the great I Am that I am, who is all and everything that He is, nothing that He is not. To know that great truth, knowing that He is as He is to know that He is Him who discerns what so often we have not, whose thoughts, my brothers and sisters, are not like our thoughts, though they should be. I want you to understand. Our thoughts, the scripture says, have not been like His thoughts, but in that the Most High anointed man as an anointed being to commune with Him, to resonate only His thoughts, our thoughts should have been like His. So He said, let the wicked man forsake his thoughts. Let him seek the Most High while he is near. For the Most High does intend that first all the tribes of Israel be reconciled as one accord. Even that all nations, seeing that example of a people who are willing to put aside all foolish, selfish agendas and passions, might have an example of a reasoning mind. Having in all things the plan, the purpose of Yah in mind first, top priority. That is the covenant, my brothers and sisters, by which a people can be made one, by which a consecrated people, the tribes of Israel, might be made one, that all nations might see that wisdom, might see that honor. And again, my brothers and sisters in this world, know the way of peace that for a long time our people have known not. Speak again, my brothers and sisters. This has been Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. I'm looking at the interface here. I don't see anybody's hands raised. But like I said, my brothers and sisters, those of you who know that you could always contact me. How about this on my Facebook page, facebook.com / ed.emiah, ed.yMiah. Look it up on Facebook. You can contact me there. For those who would seek to do so, oftentimes in the chat boxes below these shows, where they remain in the archives, I can sometimes see messages and comments regarding these shows. Also there. Leave me, if you will, the information necessary if you wish me for me to contact you. On my website, hiddengospel.com, there's also comment sections for the various articles that are there. And trust me, my brothers and sisters, no question about it. All of us need to understand this. No one is made whole without the biblical testimony that is there, the exceeding testimony that is there. For all must prove according to a pure, perfect word, according to Acts 3:18 through 23. All must prove that we can agree in all things the Most High has declared. It says the Most High shall raise amongst you a prophet from amongst your brethren. You shall hearken to him in all he shall say to you. For it shall come to pass that whoever does not hearken to the word of that prophet shall be utterly cut off from among the people. Even my brothers and sisters, wherever there is unbelief, or whatever their situation where men seek to add or take away from the Holy Word, men have trusted in what is not Yah. And the time has come that we must know Him again, to trust Him, to obey Him as He is. Till we speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Under His might, under His honor, and His praise always, hallelujah! And I thank you all, yes, I do, again, for listening.